The thing that separates the soul and the spirit, the beginning point, is always the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. Okay? That's why preaching is so hard. Because most people are not spiritually in tune, ready to receive the word that God wants to bring. I say it this way. On Sunday morning, what the preacher or speaker or whatever it is, gift is bringing, it should rattle an amen in a revelation that you're presently working on. Understand why I'm saying that? Okay. See, because the responsibility has never been put on the leadership. The responsibility of leadership is to make sure that the spiritual environment is cohesive for us to hear the amen from the Lord. See, that's the difference. In the Old Testament, that's why they were afraid of prophets. When prophets came to town, they represented the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a Bible to study. Their Bible was locked away, and the only ones that had access to it was the high priest and the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't have a Bible. Okay? And so not like you and I do today. But in the New Testament, we have not just the Bible, but we got the main one, and that's the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit comes bringing to us. Paul prayed for them in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. He says, I pray for what? A spirit of wisdom and revelation. How? In the knowledge of what? Of Christ. So whatever you're struggling with, whatever problem you're going through, whatever just challenges you're going through, then God probably is trying to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation to you in what Christ has already provided for us. All right? Okay, now, that's why Proverbs says, in all you're getting, get what? Wisdom. Wisdom's of the spirit. Knowledge is of the soul, and understanding is of the body. Because what we have done is we have tried to understand it in our minds instead of asking for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to impact us or impart to us in the spirit realm. Okay? All right, that's been the struggle that we've had. When we're talking about the dividing between the spirit and the soul, what we're after there is revelation. The Lord's dropped something into you, and all your life you've seen it that way, you've understood it that way, and that's the way it's got to be, and on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, one day, you know, you started hearing things and hearing things and hearing things, and all of a sudden, bam, the Holy Spirit just drops it on you. It says, boom, this is it. You just had a marismos experience. Now, revelation is given to us for the purpose of activity in our life to pursue. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. That's what Paul said through Timothy. What we do is we get revelation, never do anything with it. And so we wonder why we're going through it, because when the revelation comes, it begins to attack our soul. And if we're not studying to show ourselves approved unto God of what he's trying to do with that revelation, it will attack our soul and our world will be the most miserable. Remember we said, Jamie Buckingham said it years ago, the truth will make you miserable before it sets you free. Why? Because Psalms tells us that the word has to be tried 7 times in our life. 7 times. See, we think one time we hear it, we got it. No, you got it, but what our American sin is we give our own interpretation to what it is. And when that interpretation that we have formulated for ourselves is challenged, the sure sign that it's our interpretation is usually get angry. Now, look what he else has said. The second area of separation is joints and the marrow. And that is, now listen to me, that is present truth for today. That impacts the corporate body of Christ. So, what happens if we don't continue to move in truth, up the ladder of truth, then what we start doing, man starts making his own doctrines. Now, let me say this about doctrines. Doctrines will take Scripture out of context to formulate its own teaching. Revelation, it finds the seed in Genesis and follows it through all the way to Revelation. In other words, God has a pattern. Revelation comes with a pattern in mind. But if you don't know how to study this and you only read it for literal, then guess what? You're going to formulate a doctrine because you'll go and find piecemeal. There's a word that's called, it's called exegesis. Exegesis. It's taking a theme. Let me give you an example, just an example. A theme. Let's say we need to talk about spiritual covering. You know, people say, oh, I don't need spiritual covering. Jesus covers me. That's right. He does. But he also put an order in place. Now, where does that start in the book of Genesis? It's very simple. It starts with the sun and the moon. Why? Because the moon has to depend on the sun for light. It's a principle of covering. See? But if you don't understand that, then you can start following that all the way through the Scripture, and you get over into the book of Revelation. It says there's no more sun, no more moon, no more stars. Why? Because who's our covering? Jesus himself. See? See what I'm saying? See, we're talking about now Revelation. That's why it's easy for us to quote somebody else, but I can't quote Jesus. Because it's not revelation to you. It's a doctrine. See? And sad to say, most of the church today is bound by doctrine. Number one problem in the church today, they don't know the Bible. Yet they towed it around. They towed two or three of them around. They towed all kinds of translations around. Moving along. Present truth for today. All right? That's a corporate thing. Now, why is this important? Go with me over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? Starting verse 11. You should know it by now. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. The word perfecting can also use the word maturing, same word for the Greek. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or the discipline or the correction of the body of Christ. See, no discipline is joyful. No chastisement is joyful. Now, look at verse 13. He gave us the fivefold gift. Everybody see it in verse 11? And look, why did he give it to us that? For us to mature. For us to mature. How do we know we're maturing? You're doing the work of ministry. You're in your place. How do we know we're doing the work of the ministry? The body's being edified, corrected, disciplined. It's very simple. Until we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, up here in verse 3, it says we're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's this lovey, sloppy, agape, we love everybody whole concept. I'm just going to follow Christ, you know. And whenever you hear leadership get together and they preach and talk about unity, what they don't understand is if they're in Christ, they are already united. So why are we trying to find something that we already are? See, and in a church, I used to listen to Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin used to say, when a church got at odds with each other, he'd always preach about heaven and the devil. Why? Because the unity of spirit draws us together when we got a common enemy. Because the devil, the unity of the spirit, we have that in the bond of peace. It's measured, the unity of the spirit is measured in the bond of peace. So when you hear there's peace everywhere, that's fine. Until you get to verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, wait a minute. We're united in spirit. Now, do we have to be united in faith? What is faith? Faith is substance of things not seen, okay? Faith is God downloading information for a future act of what he's going to do. This is where we get in trouble, because the first one in verse 3, it deals with our spirit. Verse 13 deals with our soul. How many have ever heard this? Well, I don't really see it that way. Didn't ask you. Didn't ask you if you saw it that way. What is God saying? That's the issue of faith. That's the element of faith. Well, I don't hear it that way. Well, keep listening, because we'll keep telling you what God is saying. That's our responsibility as leaders. See? And so what I believe is that if you go back and really seek the Lord, it's not going to be a surprise when the Lord downloads to you of what he's saying over here. He's saying over here. And he's saying it to the collective body. Let me give you an example. I felt like the Lord showed me that the pastor who is there was to be the one. He was in my church as a little boy, etc. And I knew he was ready for, felt like he was ready for ministry. This is what I think. So I contacted them and talked to them. And they were shocked. They had no idea. They didn't know if that's what God wanted them to do or not. So we'll just come and sit. From the first day, there was probably half that group in there said when they came in, I knew that they were going to be the pastors of the church. And it wasn't long after that. So when we announced that they were to be the pastors, we didn't vote or anything. It was almost unanimous. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had said what he was going to do. We were united in faith. That's why we need the fivefold gifts to mature us, to do the work of ministry, for discipline and correction and edification, till we all come to the unity and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, how do we do that? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the craftiness of men, or sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. All right, now look at here. From whom? Now this is the joints and the marrow. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the discipline, correction, edifying of itself in love. Correction without love is punishment. It can be cruel. All right? And it always gets to me when somebody used to tell me, they don't tell me that much anymore, I need to tell you this, and I'm telling you this in love. Okay, why do you have to qualify it? That's my question. Then obviously our relationship isn't that close. Okay? But notice, and I won't spend time there because I can really get on that tangent, but I'll leave that alone. This deals with transformation. Notice, with us, it starts with revelation. That revelation has a part of the whole body. That has to come and be linked with the rest of the body. Now we're united in faith, and that begins to transform us corporately. Now, it's not what pastor's saying about present truth. It's what we're saying is present truth. The marrow is the jelly-like substance that reproduces blood. Life is in the blood. It carries nutrients from one joint to the next. So in other words, what God is downloading to us through revelation, it's like marrow in the bones. It makes the bones healthy, which healthy bones makes for a healthy body. And it continues to help not only others, and that's why this whole scenario of me, and this me generation, that's why the body is so disjointed and dysfunctional, is because God looks at us from a concept of a community and not just as an individual. He does see us as an individual. there's a responsibility there. But when he speaks, his ultimate aim is to speak to the community, that the community can speak to the region, if I can say it that way, as one voice and one mind. So, joint that is dislocated means the marrow dries up. How many of you have been around somebody who's had bone cancer? That is a sad, excruciating thing. I mean, it's being eaten away from the inside. So when you get out of the joint because you don't see it that way, or I don't think that's right, or I'm going to find out that those that are disjointed get their opinion, and they're drying up anyway, I'd come back to the body and say, how can I get into more of this that I can get the marrow flowing again? All right? Okay, notice what it says. The body of Christ, out of joint or in the wrong place, the marrow will not flow. We start out individually as revelation. Revelation comes with the corporate body for the purpose of transformation. Then we go to the third one that he says here, and it's the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, I like what one translation says. It says the deliberations and the motives of the heart. And ultimately, God's going to bring you back and all of us back to our motives. Our motives. Why are you here? What's your motive? If you're not contributing part of the body, then guess what? You have a very selfish motive. Jesus, remember we talked about Jesus? He didn't come to be ministered to. He came to be to minister. Now what it says? Okay, we talked about his purpose, all right? This deals with our actions and our behavior. If there is revelation that comes to you individually, you connected it with the body, it will manifest in our actions and our behavior. So the thought and intents of the heart deals with our manifestations. Sooner or later, there has to be something tangible that says we've heard from God. And how many of you know it just really builds when everybody's hearing the same thing? Wow. I mean, we're moving, boy. We're doing what God says. And there's an excitement there because, man, if we did it this time, guess what? And notice, it is an event, but it is an event. It's a lifestyle. Because you go from one glorious act of God to the next glorious act of God to the next glorious act of God. That's the great thing about what God does here. And so when he talks about spirit, soul, joints and marrow, thoughts and intents of the heart, these are the things we got to do. The thoughts and intents of the heart, it's saying one thing, and we've got to be careful because we have a tendency to say one thing and do something else. In other words, your thoughts and intents, your deliberations and your actions, your motives, they all have to flow together. All right, okay, we'll move along here, okay? Now, how do we go through a marismos experience? Remember, we start out with the natural, to the carnal, to the spiritual. Now look at go to Ephesians 6, and look at verse 17. He's talking about the shield, the full armor, okay? It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What did we say the sword of the Spirit was? Sword of the Spirit. Word of God. Okay, all right. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, it says that. Huh, how'd that get in there? All right. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now look at this. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now look at this. He says we have the sword of the Spirit. All right. He said we're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What is praying in the Spirit? Anybody here praying in the Spirit? What's praying in the Spirit? Pray in tongues. Pray in your prayer language. Pray in your prayer language. Now why? Because in Corinthians, we'll take time. You've heard me teach on this before. But for a long time, I used to pray in my prayer language, and then I'd pray what I wanted prayed. Until I realize that there's a time when I pray in my prayer language until I'm in the Spirit. And when I'm in the Spirit, I pray in the Spirit until it stops, and then I pray for the interpretation of what I prayed in the Spirit. And at that time, I am just like the Old Testament, New Testament people. They were moved, they wrote down was they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So you pray, and depends on what you're praying for. You pray, say God is speaking something to the whole body, and you're not hearing. Then maybe you need to fast and pray, and you need to pray in the Spirit. And then you know when you kick into that gift of tongues, you kick into it, and then when you do that, you are in the Spirit. That's what John said on the day of in the first chapter of Revelation. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and we get 22 chapters of his interpretation of what he saw in the Spirit. 22 chapters. Why? Because he asked for the interpretation. And man has so brutalized his revelation, and, well, I won't even go into it. But the reality is that God gave him that interpretation. And so when he tells us here that if we're going to go through a marismosis experience, then what we got to do is we got to bring that soul under submission again to the Spirit. We stay praying in an unknown, what they call, the Corinthians calls an unknown tongue, until you pray in a known tongue, which is, pray in your heavenly language. When you pray in that, you're praying in the Spirit, then you pray for that interpretation. That starts a marismos experience. All right? Because remember, wisdom and revelation, they come out of the Spirit realm. They come out of the Spirit realm. All right? Okay. Now, what does Romans tell us? Faith cometh by hearing. Say it again. By the Word of God. So, man, we ought to be the most faith-filled people in the earth. Because the average Christian hears 26 sermons a week. But fear dominates us more than before Brother Hagin started teaching on faith. Because we misinterpreted that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing a word from God. From God. I think the Amplified says that. Has anybody got an Amplified? It's one of those translations. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing a word from God. How does that come? You get in the Spirit, I get the interpretation. Now, what is my supplication? It's the answer. What is it? It's what he just said. When you start speaking it, you're releasing creative power of God. You're releasing it in there. It's not what I want. It's not what I think I should have. It's not what I'm believing for. No, it is what he has said. I become his mouthpiece, and I am now doing everything, because that's when the enemy starts into action the minute you begin to speak it. And he tries to undo and discredit God and you by the words that you speak. That's where the faith message got it right. Okay? From. The key word is from. See? Now, that, if we take the verse literally, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. Then we should all be full of faith. But we know that it's not really that way, and it goes beyond that. It goes deeper than that. All right? Okay, now.